Okay, well, let's get started. My name is Kelly Monahan. I'm the owner of HomeTravelAgency.com and the author of the Home-Based Travel Agent course. And I'd like to welcome you to what I think is going to be a real fun session tonight, a little bit different than what we've done so far. But I'd like to do more along this line, in which we talk to suppliers and get an opportunity to get some insight into what they do, what they have to offer, how we can sell it, and how we can work together to our mutual benefit. And this one, speaking about interesting travel products, this one really caught my eye. Are you or your clients tired of these enormous 3,000-passenger cruise ships? Well, if they are, maybe they might be interested in something a little more intimate, say something with 6 passengers. Actually, at that level, we're not really talking about a ship. We're talking about a boat, I think, for all the nautical types out there. Actually, we're talking about a 44-foot luxury catamaran, a catamaran being a sailing vessel with 2 hulls that are parallel to one another and are separated by a bridge on which is positioned a cockpit and a lounge with the accommodations in the hulls to the side. And the people we're talking to today are with Festiva Sailing Vacations, who specialize in offering what are called wet charters of these vessels. And what that means, for those who aren't familiar with the term, is that the boat comes complete with a captain and a crew to look after your needs and to prepare your meals for you and to make sure the vessel gets from point A to point B. And the other thing that is sort of intrigued me about this is, unlike most cruises where there is a set itinerary, Festiva works a little differently. Now, they do have set itineraries if that's what you'd like and you sort of like to go with the flow and let the pros pick the destinations. But if you want, you can go wherever you want to go, within reason, I suppose. But rather than me try to explain it to you, why don't we go to the guys who really know what's happening. We have with us today Mike Power, who is, I'm sorry, Mike, I have to apologize, I don't know your exact title. It is?
I'm the vice president of our division, our Festiva Sailing Vacations.
Great. So you know whereof you speak, obviously. Why don't we jump right in, and let me ask you to tell folks a bit about Festiva Sailing Vacations, how it got started, and what it does.
Okay, well, sure. Basically, we started in 2004, and the idea was to come up with a product, a sailing vacation product, that was that we could make available for those people who are not necessarily sailors. There is a lot of sailing vacations available. However, most of the people are targeting those who have experience as captains. Our product basically is designed around offering an all-inclusive crew charter out of some of the most sought-after sailing destinations in the Caribbean. As you mentioned, we use Lagoon 440 sailing catamarans, which was the charter boat of the year last couple years ago, and it's the ideal setup for the types of trips that we do. Basically, it's a 3 guest cabin. Each cabin comes with its own private bathroom, and then there's a separate crew quarters, which the crew consists of a captain and a chef, normally a husband and a wife. So basically what we do is we have 4 bases throughout the crew, actually 5. We're based in Tortola in the British Virgin Islands, which happens to be the most popular sailing destination in the Caribbean. We have 6 boats there. We have 4 boats located in St. Vincent, and we do run down to the Grenadines. We have 2 in St. Martin, and then we also have 2 in the Abacos. Next year we're opening up Belize, and we'll have 2 boats there as well. So basically what we offer is the opportunity for people who are interested in the islands and like the water and enjoy the island setting to board one of our vessels, and for 7 days, 7 nights, we take them on an all-inclusive trip touring these islands, basically island hopping. You get on the boat, the crew hands you a fruity drink, and you sit down and have some appetizers, get to know each other, and then you set off to our first destination, which might be a 40-minute sail, might be a couple-hour sail, but anchoring at that location and spending some time snorkeling, diving, fishing. We have sea kayaks, and then you just do that and from island to island, exploring the beaches. It really gives people an experience of the Caribbean that you can't find on a cruise ship or anything like a land-based Caribbean resort, really. It's quite a unique experience.
Well, yeah, that's interesting. You obviously, there are a lot of ships that cruise the Caribbean, and probably a lot of people listening to this are familiar with many of them and the destinations they go to and the kind of experience they offer. So I was wondering, maybe you could compare and contrast what Festiva offers on this Lagoon 440 catamaran compared to what a standard cruise line would offer?
Well, it's a much, as you mentioned, it is a much more intimate setting, obviously. The boat is 44 feet in length, 25-foot beam, which is basically the width. So it's like getting on your own private yacht. So what we offer is the highest in service. Basically, prior to coming onto the ship, we ask our guests or onto the boat, or we ask our guests to fill out a preference form, and we try to find out their likes, dislikes. We have a set menu, but we cater to any dietary requirements or any if there's any allergies, that type of thing. Well, throughout the trip, we also offer an open bar, and we ask their wine preferences. So, and any other special anniversaries, birthdays. So the crew has an idea of what the guests will be like on the boat. We do sell stateroom cabins, which is another unique thing because as I mentioned, there's three individual guest cabins. Each cabin is air conditioned, has its own private bath, but we will mix and match couples on each boat. So it's a nice all inclusive trip. Once you board the boat, we have all the gear. The crew know the ins and outs and the hot spots for each of these island locations. So they kind of take you on a personal tour. And because we are down there and know a lot of the people, we kind of get the specialized treatment when we stop at some of the little beach bars and some of the restaurants and that type of thing as well. So, I mean, it's all about making sure the guest has a great time, being an experience, the sailing lifestyle. If they would like to try to sail or like to help out, we allow them to do that. But like I said, the crew is there to make sure they have the best time possible. So if they want to spend some time in one location versus the other, we do that as well. It's just a way that they can interact with our crew and see some of these sites in a way that they couldn't otherwise.
Just a clarification: when you say mix and match passengers, what does that mean? Sounds kind of
basically. Well, what I mean by that is that we're selling cabins, stateroom cabins. We have it's a unique opportunity. Say that you have a couple looking for a trip, but they don't have enough people to fill the entire boat. Our boats can take six guests, but they can just choose one cabin based on their preference sheets. We can look and see, oh, these people are wanting to, you know, they might want more of a quiet and relaxing type of trip versus a couple that are looking for more of a party scene. So we'll make sure that we can combine those two, combine couples that have similar interests. So when you're out on the trip, everybody kind of enjoys themselves to what they want, to what their expectations are.
The larger cruise ships can't guarantee that you're going to be with copacetic people. Now,
exactly.
Obviously, I assume that if you have three couples that want to travel together, you can accommodate them.
Definitely. Obviously, we do get a lot of people that are looking to book all three cabins, and I'd say about half, 50% of the people are taking individual cabins or taking the entire boat. So.
You anticipated my next question. I was also intrigued when you said that you have an open bar. Now, is it the same as on a one of the large cruise ships where alcoholic beverages and indeed soft drinks are extra?
No, actually, the price of our trip is basically all inclusive. It's a one price. One covers everything type of scenario. It's a unique situation where basically, in addition to not only the food and the beverage and the activities is covered by the cost of our trip, it also covers the gratuities, taxes, cruising permits, and port fees. All of this is covered with the initial cost of the trip. On a lot of charter vacations, that you will find where there's additional fees for moorings, for dinghy fuel, just for ice and for water. That's not the case with us. Basically, we make it very simple. Again, we cater to an all-inclusive type of very nice vacation, so all that's covered. If we run out of something while on the trip, run out of your favorite beer, we'll go get more, and there's no additional cost. So it is an open bar and open, the meals. We have very nice meals. It's what we like to call Island Gourmet. We have everything from pork tenderloin to steaks to chicken, very nice sauces, salads for lunch, and mixed between warm hot breakfasts and cold breakfasts. So it's a very nice presentation.
That's really great, and I would think that's an excellent selling point. And I hope that people listening make note of that. Anyone who's booked a certain number of cruises has had more than one client come back and grumble about how every time they turned around, there was something else they had to pay for. And it used to be that the sort of the all-inclusive one price, you know what you're going to spend before you go, thing was a terrific selling point for cruises, and that's pretty much not the case anymore. But it sounds like you've kind of, in your case, that really is the reality.
That is the reality, and people do appreciate the fact that there's no other cost associated with. Now, aside from that, there is gratuities for the crew. I should say that the crew take care of you throughout the week, so that's kind of customary.
And people want to do that anyway, I would imagine.
Yeah. But when you even consider that, basically the food that they prepare is better than any restaurant. There's two nights that are on your own, dinner ashore, on our trip, and normally that's the one day out while out on charter, and then normally the last night back at the dock. So really, it is most of the meals, all breakfast is lunch, and then one dinner while you're out is included.
Now, are you going to find yourself, as a passenger, are you going to find yourself pulling into the same port with all the other cruise ships, or do you always...
No, not at all. I mean, basically what we do is we take you to the... Our boats have a 4-foot draft, which means that they only sit 4 feet deep down in the water. So basically what we do is we can go up to the beaches, like right up close to the beaches or anchor in the coves. If people are, like, for example, like I mentioned, the British Virgin Islands is a very, very popular destination. There's a lot of sailing down there, a lot of sailboats. And so when you go down there, the first night we anchor in this little cove off of Norman Island, which is called the Bight, and there's this famous floating bar called Willie T that everybody likes to go and hang out and have a good time on the Willie T. So the first night we do that, and the people that want that kind of experience go there and they have a great time. But not just right around the corner from that Bight, there's another bit cove that is very secluded, very private, and so some folks like to go and hang out there. But throughout the British Virgin Islands trips, for example, you'll step on about 15 different beaches throughout the course of the 7 days. And every time you go to a new beach, it's like the next most beautiful beach you've ever been. You know, it's like the Corona commercial all over again. It's just it's very secluded, very white sand beach, just very nice way to get away from what you would normally see when you pull into port. It's nothing like that. There are some destinations that we sail, such as St. Martin, where you can We go into Marigot, and there's the famous French restaurants and shopping, and people can do that. But in addition to that, that's just one stop on the trip. For the most part, you're out sailing around, going to the beaches. We go to Tintamarre, which is where the mud baths are, and our guests go up and lather themselves in mud and bake in the sun. So we do a lot of unique things. I mean, people that go on our trip really do describe it as the vacation of a lifetime. It's something that most people have never dreamed that they would ever do, but we make it available to them because, really, we take care of all the work. We take care of all the sailing. It's a very safe, very stable environment. People sometimes get a little concerned about seasickness. The fact that we use catamarans, and the 440 in particular, is that it's very stable. So you don't have the rockiness that most might think when they're out in a smaller boat. It is quite stable, and so it's just it's a very nice, very very nice experience for our guests.
Right. That was another question I had. I know that seasickness is a something that comes up with a lot of folks, and it's nice to know that they can have that reassurance. I always recommend that people, if they have any concern about it, is they take Dramamine. I'm a little susceptible to motion sickness myself, and Dramamine's always worked for me. I've also had the opportunity to visit some of those little tiny little islands in the Grenadines, and I think, you know, if you haven't been there, it's hard to explain to people just how incredibly gorgeous it is when you step out onto a beach and there's not a footprint to be seen. And I assume you go to some of those little tiny uninhabited islands.
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, down through the Grenadines, for example, you know, that's one of the more remote destinations that we do as far as pretty underdeveloped, a lot of local folks, and, you know, very very unpopulated places. But we do go down to the Tobago Keys, for example, and you can go to the beaches where down in that area is where they film the Pirates of the Caribbean, and we go down to where they have had the big rum dance, rum fire scene was shot.
Right.
But these tiny little islands that basically we just hang out on, anchor off of, and scuba dive and snorkel around and see the beautiful fish and then hang out on the beach. Basically, the crew will dinghy a cooler into the beach for you, and you can hang out and enjoy yourself drinking your beer or your whatever you like. And then they call you back in for lunch. It really is a nice trip. It's pretty much mindless relaxation once you put your foot on a boat. Everything's taken care of, and like I said, it's you go to some gorgeous places.
Well, let me ask you another question about this, because this is something that I've been asked to look into for groups. What if you have a group that's larger than three couples, say four couples, five couples, six couples? Actually, six couples would probably be easier, but what I'm getting at here is it possible to go in convoy where you could have two vessels traveling together?
For sure, yes, definitely. We do a lot of that's what they call flotilla, when you take out multiple boats. And as I mentioned, we do have six boats in the British Virgin Islands, four in the Grenadines, and we have at least two boats in our other locations. So you can take up to two, three, four boats at a time, depending on the size of your group. It's something that we do quite often. And the unique thing about it is that as we sail around together, and then at night when we anchor up, we'll raft up the boats, which means that basically they tie them up, and guests can hop from one boat to the other, interact with the other guests, interact with the other crew, and it just becomes one big party, one big trip. So it turns out to be a great thing. A lot of people like it.
That sounds fabulous. Now, you mentioned scuba diving. I take it scuba divers have to be certified?
Yes, we do. We do offer scuba diving on all of our boats. We have all the equipment. It is an additional cost. That is the one thing that we do charge for, additional cost for. However, they can do that on the boat, pay as they go. But you do have to be certified. You have to be a certified and have your PADI card with you.
Right, and I take it you don't offer certification or training.
No, we don't really do that, just primarily because we are, again, we sell stateroom charters, and we're not necessarily diving charter trips. And we want to accommodate everybody that's on board, and
gotcha.
Sometimes you'll have some divers and sometimes you won't. But all of our, when you are diving with us, we do have a dive master on board. We do have one crew that can offer some discovery dives, introductory dives as well for those 9 non-divers. But primarily it's for people that are looking to do that as well and not want to haul their equipment down. Again, just another nice service that we provide.
Terrific. And what about snorkeling? Is there one area that you would recommend for people who want to do snorkeling over another?
Well, I mean, in all the locations where we sail, there's great snorkeling, whether at some point along the trip. I would say that one of the bigger destinations for divers and snorkeling tends to be the Grenadines. The Grenadines, something again to keep in mind about the Grenadines, is that it's a little more of a sailor's destination, meaning that you are going to do some further sailing during the day. It won't be uncommon to sail from point A to point B, which might be a 3-hour sail. But once you get down into the Tobago Keys region, the Union Island area, there's some great diving, great snorkeling in those areas. Now, compared to, say, the Abacos or the British Virgin Islands, those locations is more like island hopping. And if for first-timers, we normally recommend that they go and experience the British Virgin Islands. And the reason is because the Sir Francis Drake Channel is very well protected. Our base is out of Tortola, and all the islands surround Tortola. So basically, we do a big loop going from island to island. It's very calm waters. There is one day that we sail from Virgin Gorda over to Anegada, which is about a 2-hour sail, and people love to go over to Anegada. It's the third largest barrier reef in the world surrounds Anegada, so it's one of those locations that just up until a few years ago when sailing companies put moorings out, did they even let people go onto Anegada because it was so dangerous to get out there. But now a lot of people go over there, you anchor and you go over to Calwreck Beach, excuse me, and Calwreck Beach is where they filmed that last scene of Shawshank Redemption where he's standing in his boat on the beach. So you can get an idea of how beautiful that place is.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got the beginning of a theme cruise there. Go to famous movie locations.
well, these are the hot spots everybody likes to hear about.
I take it that then from what you've said, that going down to the Grenadines, you're going to experience a little more motion than you
would. Yeah, there's going to be some. Yeah, you know, and if you go down during the winter season or when the winds are higher, you get more sailing in. Versus the summer seasons when it's a little more calmer. But, yeah, for sure, the Grenadines can have some higher seas down there. Not
right.
You're never out on the open sea, you know. It's
right,
not
right,
like
right.
you're going out on a cruise ship.
It's interesting to hear you talk about the snorkeling. I've been going down to the Caribbean long enough that I've been able to see a fair amount of degradation in the quality of the snorkeling. But I would, you know, also have to take into consideration that I've gone to the, by and large, to the big places, you know, where probably there's been some problem with overuse and you know, pollution and whatnot.
Yeah. Right.
So I gather that you go to some more out of the way places where the coral hasn't suffered as much.
That's true. We do go. I mean, we go to these like Sandy Spit, for example, which is just a little island there. In the British Virgin Islands, but you anchor there and you can hang out, snorkel around that island, and just see some beautiful fish and beautiful coral, and it's a great spot. And there's all kinds of those types of places that we go. It's kind of definitely unique because you're right, you're not going to where everybody everybody has been, or the big ships are coming in, or the big developments are. There are no, you know, there are no big developments where we're going. These are the Caribbean islands in their glory, just all their natural beauty. So that's what makes our trip special. You know?
Great. And if a group gets to a little place and they want to stay there for a couple of days, you'll let them, right?
That's exactly right. You know, you get on the boat and, like I said, the captain will kind of give you an overview of what you can do, where we can go, what we can do along the way. If we get over to one spot and they like it there, and we'll hang out there for a day or two and catch up, hit the other spots on the next trip. So
let me ask you something about seasons. You mentioned seasons earlier. You're pretty much year-round in the Caribbean?
We do sail year-round. Our high season, with the exception of September 1st through October 15th, we sail year-round. The high season for the Caribbean, obviously, is mid-November through mid-April. The winter season tends to be the higher demand periods, and then from mid-April through the end of August, well, mid-April through mid-November is our what we refer to as our summer season, our secondary season.
Right. Now, is there a large difference in temperature between at different times of the year?
No, I would say that, you know, you can probably experience maybe 10 to 15 degree difference. Nothing major. Our boats, and I don't know if I mentioned this, all of our boats are air conditioned.
Right, you did.
The cabins have individual air conditioning, and the main salon area is air conditioned as well. So it's comfortable even if you go down during the summer seasons when the breezes aren't blowing quite as high as they are in the winter. You can swim year round in the waters down there. Now the Abacos we actually charter from mid May through mid November. We actually move a couple of our boats there down to Tortola into the British Virgin Islands during the winter season just because of the demand is high down there.
Right.
So, and we get some people saying that it's too cold up in that area for swimming during the winter in the Abaco. So, but other than that, most of the chains down and from the BVIs down are very, very temperate year round and not a whole lot of change in the climate.
That's interesting. Do you have any plans to branch out to other cruising areas or?
Yes, we do actually. I mean, we currently have 14 boats in our fleet, and as I mentioned, two of those are being commissioned right now, brand new boats that are going to be sailing in the Abacos towards the end of 2008, we're going to be moving a couple boats into Belize and have that as a region as well for people to choose from.
So you're going to get out to Ambergris or coastal?
We're going to be in the southern region, out of Palencia, and go down through the southern region of Belize there, along the reefs. But that's one location that we definitely have on the docket for next year. And then we're looking at getting into the Mediterranean. We'd like to get into the South Pacific. It's just a matter of where we see the most demand is. Like I said, our guests have really taken hold of this product. You know, the idea of having an all-inclusive crude charter for a price that's comparable to a cruise line vacation, it's become quite popular.
One of the questions that came in here on the was from Debbie in Greentown. I'm not sure what the state is, but she was interested about how expensive these are versus a quote unquote regular cruise ship. So maybe this is a good time to move into a discussion on pricing. My understanding is that your pricing is pretty simple, and why don't you run it by us?
Okay, well, yeah. Like I said, it is an all-inclusive price. It's divided up between the two seasons, the summer and the winter season. During the summer season, our retail pricing is set at $39.95 per couple. And again, that is all inclusive for 7 days, and that couple would have a cabin on our boat. The cabin comes with its private bathroom, air conditioning, and then in the winter season, that price goes to $49.95. So there's about $1,000 difference between the two seasons.
Right, and so how would you compare that in terms of just price as well as value to a regular cruise? I mean, if you were trying to sell somebody who was having a hard time deciding, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them that the experience that you get on our trips, the fact that it is a crewed, your own personal chef and captain that are basically taking care of you for the entire week. The food is fantastic, plated dinners, wine with every dinner. It's a very, very nice experience. You can't really even compare it to a cruise line experience. It's something totally different. The pricing I would venture to say, is going to be comparable, to a lot of cruise lines, a 7 day trip for two people. I don't do a lot of cruising myself on a big cruise line, but I can tell you that the personal attention and the overall experience in general, the places that you get to go, the things that you get to see and do, and the fact that our crew basically take care of you for this entire time and show you these great spots. And, you know, we get people that are leaving our boat that, you know, they're in tears that they're leaving because they've had such a great time and they want to come back, and they make, you know, our crew has open invitations to go to visit these guests that they've had throughout the years on their weeks off. They're flying somewhere because somebody's welcomed them into their home, because basically that's what we do, is we welcome guests into our home and take care of them for a week like it's their own boat, and it's their own home. So
right.
So you can't really compare the experience to a cruise line. And
well,
I think
even so, people will.
Yeah.
Or they'll want their travel agent to. I would just make some notes for travel agents who are listening in on this. Certainly the pricing is comparable, or can be directly comparable, to what you might pay for some of the more expensive cabins on a quote-unquote regular cruise ship. It'll be quite a bit more expensive for sort of, you know, the mid-market cruise ship. I mean, it's very possible to cruise for $2,000 a couple or less. But I would hope that agents would point out to their people who might be trying to interest in something like this, or who they feel would appreciate and enjoy an experience like this, is that whatever the basic or the naked price difference might be, it's going to shrink somewhat when you take into account all of the extra things you pay for on a cruise ship.
Right.
I mean,
well, that's
it's
true.
It's very easy to double your basic fare on a cruise ship.
Right.
Especially you like fine wines or drink a lot.
Exactly. And those prices that I mentioned are, you know, those are our published pricing, and we do different promotions throughout the year that to help us fill some of the demand or the need periods, I guess. But just as a guideline, that's what we publish our price at, and that's comparable
right.
to
now,
what
now you,
what
you said,
get for this thing.
Yeah, the key word there is your published price. I want to move into another area which I think is going to be especially interesting to travel agents, and that is you don't pay commissions, but as I understand it, but instead you offer your cruises at a net fare to travel agents. Why don't you explain to us a bit about how that works?
Well, basically how that works, it's kind of a scenario that's common in the brokerage business, in the yacht brokerage business, but not so common in the travel agent business, is basically we offer a net price to travel agents, basically meaning that we would need to get a certain price for the charter, and then they can mark up that price and charge it to their client, and paying us the net price, keeping the balance.
Right. So if there's some, and I'm just sort of adding this stuff in here for the benefit of the home-based travel agents who are listening to this, that gives you some leeway in a selling situation if you're encountering some price resistance.
We come up with some pricing that's very, very competitive for the travel agent market that they do have the flexibility to work with. If they based on our retail pricing, we can offer net pricing that can give them upwards of 30% commission if they were looking at it on a commission basis. So it can be quite lucrative because we do identify pricing up front and basically say, okay, for this time period, all we need to do is we need to net this price. You have the ability to go and sell it, with knowing that we sell it at a retail price of $39 or $49.95. You have the ability to work within that region.
Right.
So a lot of flexibility and a lot of some pretty decent profit margins there to work on.
Let's talk about the details. How do you collect the payments, and from whom, and when?
Well, what we have done, and primarily we're just now getting into doing travel agent business for the most part. But what we do have done is basically the agent would buy the charter. They would sell it to their client, and then the agent would turn around and pay us the net rate.
By check, presumably, or a
check or a credit card, however they want. Yeah, check, wire transfer, credit card payment, however they wanted to do it.
Now, are you in a position to run the client's credit card and return the difference to the travel agent?
We aren't. That's something that we're not in the position of doing. I mean, at this point, it's something that, the transaction is best to be between us and the travel agent,
right?
And the travel agent and their client. Once the client books through their books with their travel agent, we'll take over as far as the confirmation packages and making sure
right.
that the client gets all the necessary material directly from us. We can do it through them if they would prefer that as well. Basically right now what we do is we would have to make the transaction through the agent.
Right. So to be clear about it then, the agent would buy the ship. Do you have to get all three cabins?
No, actually, and they don't even have to. I mean, they don't. The agent would basically find the client that's interested in a certain date. They call us up and say, request that date, and we say, yes, we do have that. The agent would go ahead and reserve that cabin with us through their payments, making payment to us, and then they would then turn around and sell.
A payment in full of the net fare, or?
Payment in full of the net fare, yes.
Okay, and so in essence then, what ideally would happen in that situation is the agent and you would firm things up. The agent would turn to his client and say, I need your check for $49.95 made payable to me,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
And,
now, actually...
And then the agent would turn around and presumably wait, if he's smart, wait till the check clears, and then transmit the net fare to you, which would be maybe $1,000 less than... more.
Right, right. And actually, when I say full payment, that's not actually totally accurate. We actually take 50% deposit to reserve the cabin. So the agent would get a 50% deposit with us. So they do have some leeway.
So if I were to promote a cruise on a vessel, I would and sell, take on the risk opportunity of selling the three cabins, I would give you a 50% discount to hold that. And
correct.
Then I could go and scare up the clients and then pay you the remainder within what period of time?
The remainder balance is due 60 days prior to departure.
Okay.
So, and what we find is that basically with the brokers that we use, the charter brokers that we use, basically we have a calendar, and for the people that are really, you know, really interested and have a lot of interest in this, we basically let them see the calendar on a regular basis so they know, if they have, for whatever dates their clients are interested in, they can look and see, oh yeah, see here that we can get you on the second week in January, for example. So it's not like we were asking for them to purchase anything, make a purchase commitment up front, but more so just work with us as their clients come in, you know.
Right.
If they get specific
exactly.
requests.
No, it sounds like the one thing I would say, if you don't mind my talking past you here, Mike, to the
sure.
travel agents who are listening, is that there's a certain challenge to selling this product because it people can't pull out their credit card. You know, personally, my instinct would be to handle that by saying, you know, these are very small. It's a very small boutique operation. We're dealing with individual boat owners, and they don't have these big credit card processing facilities. And if they did, the cost would be a lot more than it actually is.
Yeah.
I have found, and I've also know from talking to other agents that there is a certain segment of the market that's resistant to paying by check or whatever, but it's a challenge, but not a challenge that can't be overcome, especially with a product like yours. Quite frankly, personal opinion there.
Okay.
By the way, for those of you who'd like to get a closer look at this, you can go to festivasailingvacations.com. It's all one word. And on my blog, I was just talking, I had a post about how so-called rich media is being used to sell travel. And most specifically, I think in that case, it was hotels. But here, if you go to that site, you'll be able to get a 360-degree view of what these boats look like. And they're really... really nice looking, very compact and very intimate, but way cool. And I think it'll get your mouth watering as it did mine. I mean, I've already plotted out some ideas for some ways in which I can sell this and hopefully make some money. You mentioned that you're just starting to address the travel agent community. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, for the most part, we've done fairly traditional marketing of the product with the addition, well, as far as in the sailing community. As we're getting more into more of the mainstream and realizing that this is a product that pretty much anybody can enjoy, anybody that likes the Caribbean and likes the water will like our trips. We're trying to branch out and get into a little broader distribution and seeing how the travel agents respond to it. So we are doing some things. We are looking at working up some incentive programs for different agents that might encourage them to give us a shot. We can send out some additional information on all those types of things. If people are interested in that,
right.
To get some details on
it. Perfect.
That.
Now, you're going to be at the Home-Based Travel Agent Show in Atlantic City the 29th, 30th, 31st of the month, right?
We're looking at, I need to consult with Dean. We're looking at some things here right now, and I know that we're looking at a couple of Home-Based Travel Agent shows. So,
Well, I think Dean and I were talking about that, and my recollection is that you're going to have a presence there, and in which case I certainly look forward to meeting you. What else do we need to know? What else would have I forgotten to ask you about?
Well, I don't know, people that just kind of an overview as far as for people that are asking about this. It's like I said, I explained the trip itself. When people come with us, you don't need to pack much. You come in our boats, you bring.
You mean there's no formal night?
There's the formal night is a T-shirt. But no, I mean, yes, there is nights that we dine ashore, but really that means that they're, you know, you might have a collared shirt versus the T-shirt. But it's very relaxed. It's very casual. You can get by with a small duffel bag, and that's no joke. People that come on our trips, and they always say they never pack. You're in your bathing suit, you're in your T-shirts. It's very relaxed, very enjoyable.
Now, I tend to bring my own snorkeling gear when I come. Is that recommended, or would?
Well, you can. I mean, you can bring your own stuff for sure. We do have all the fins available. Part of the preference is asking you your shoe size to make sure we have fins that work for you, and we have snorkels and masks, and we have the floating noodles and all that stuff's provided for people that. And it's decent, and it's nice equipment too. But some people prefer to shoot to bring their own, and that's not a problem. We can store that without any issue.
Right. Now, I gathered from something that you said that your main clientele thus far has been serious sailors. Is that right?
Well, you know, when we first got into this business, we started on going to a lot of boat shows and got our name out there in the sailing community. So as a result, yes, we do have sailors that have come onto our boats. As we've matured and added more boats into our fleet, we've expanded, like I said, and gone more mainstream. And now we have people that this is their first time being on this type of boat. The experience, like I said, the crew take care of everything. The safety is not an issue. The ability for, you know, I would say, I guess, that there is a level of physical activity that you need to have to come on our boats. You know, we get on and off the boat via dinghy or an inflatable raft. So there is some things that I probably should mention there.
An excellent point. Yeah, spend a little time talking about who shouldn't take these.
Yeah, I mean, it's an adventure. It's very nice. Like I said, it's very nice in terms of the meals and the service that we provide, but it is kind of an adventure. You know, you're going from island to island. You're not pulling up to a dock and plugging in the electricity every night. You're basically dropping anchor, and you're either swimming into the beach or you're taking the dinghy into the beach. And when you get in on and off the dinghy, it's off the back of the boat. Well, there's little steps that come down. It's not anything dangerous by any means, but you do have to be aware that there's, you know, you're going to be getting out of an inflatable raft up and onto a boat. So there is some sort of physical exertion that's involved, although it's very, very limited, but something that people need to be in decent health and consider these things as well when they're looking at our trips.
Okay. What's the sort of the average age of your or the age range of your customers so far?
Well, our age, I would say that it ranges from the mid-30s to the mid-60s. We get quite a broad range. The majority are probably in their late mid 40s to early 50s, I guess. But there's a pretty decent range that we get.
And where do you draw your clientele from? Is it mostly American or? more internet?
It is. Well, it's currently, it's, I would say, mostly the U.S. market, although we do get quite a bit of Canadians. And the UK is becoming a stronger market for us, just because there seems to be quite a demand for the locations that we see in the Caribbean from that.
Right, and
from
since you're market. Priced in dollars,
exactly,
they're
exactly.
cheap now for the Brits.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing. I went to school in England, and I you know I look at the cost of going back, and it's just you go, oh my goodness.
Yes.
So, but that's good. I would imagine that the kind of the clientele, the mix will change a bit as you move more into the travel agent channel.
Yeah,
you get more of a mix. And but this is a it's a really an interesting product because it there. I know there are people that I've worked with before who love cruising, but they also love the soft adventure kind of thing. And here's a way to do it both. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's really not that easy to come by.
So
all of this is good stuff. And I mean, I'm looking forward to meeting you in Atlantic City, you or Dean, and hopefully maybe we can do some business together. Let's see if we've got some questions here. There was a question about how expensive it is in comparison to regular cruise ship. We've kind of covered that. Where would we get information about these sailings? If you go to the webpage for this teleseminar, you'll see down in the lower right, just below the big Get the Course button, which I hope you'll click to if you haven't already. But just below that, you'll see a link that says Get More Info About Festiva. You sign up there and let us know who you are and how to get in touch with you, and somebody from Festiva will get in touch with you and set you up. And let's hang on just a minute here. One more thing I've got to do. Is there anyone out there who's listening in by phone? Most folks listen in on the web, but is there anyone listening in by phone who has a question who would like to ask it? Hello? Well, I guess not. So on that note, what I'll do is I'll just thank you so much for your time, and you've been very generous with your time and your expertise. And
well, Kelly, we really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Yeah, I had a great time. It sounds like you've got a terrific product. Oh, let me ask you one other thing. Are you have anything in the works to educate agents about your product?
You know, that's something that, I mean, this is kind of our first step, and we really appreciate the opportunity to do this, and I think that what I will do with Dean is kind of come up with a game plan. We do have some information available right now in the form of a PowerPoint presentation or a PDF file that we can put together and send out to agents that they can then put along to their clients. It gives a little bit more about details about our trips with menus, a set menu, some additional pictures of the boat, itineraries, day-to-day itineraries, and that's all readily available and can be sent out to those that are looking for additional information.
Great. Now, I also remember Dean telling me something about a plan to take one of these vessels up the East Coast and pull in at various places, so agents could come down and actually see them in the flesh, as it were?
Well, you know, we do, like I said, we just came back from the Annapolis Boat Show, which is quite a large boat show for us. And we do a couple of these shows each throughout the year. I know that there's a large one in Miami, I believe it's in January, where people can come down and actually step onto the boat, walk around, take a look, and speak to some of the folks that we have down there, explaining what we do. So those are a couple of opportunities.
Oh, great! And that there would be also a potential opportunity for an agent to bring some clients and show them, give them a little cook's tour.
Yep.
Okay. Excellent. Well, listen, once again, thanks so much, guys. I've had a good time. I hope the folks listening have as well. And I wish you the best of luck, and I hope to see you not only in Atlantic City, but somewhere in the Caribbean.
That would be great. Thanks again, Kelly.
All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.